So good to see everyone out this evening. I would say it's wonderful to see everyone out. It's good to see Chelsea, you able to make it out, and Matt. And when you two were baptized, the angels in heaven were rejoicing for you. And that was a glorious day. And I know they're still rejoicing, and we're praying for you as this time as you're with child, for both of you. You're going through a lot of changes and challenges in your life in the last several months, and we're praying for you. And we talked this morning about when we have the love of Christ, where he instructed us to lay down our life for a brother, and I said, I believe we all have that here. Just remember, anything you need, don't hesitate to ask us. Don't hesitate at all. We are your family, and we love you, and we want everything to go well for you. And I'm disappointed we aren't going to be here next week. So I hope you have the baby before we go. But we are so thankful for you, and we've been praying for you. And this congregation continues to pray for everybody. We continue. So I was talking this morning, sometimes I get frustrated when I have a sermon planned and the people I think need to hear it aren't here. So I've told you sometimes I'm selfish and I preach sermons for myself. So this is a selfish sermon for myself. And I needed to hear a wonderful sermon. And this is going to be a wonderful, 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 wonderful sermon. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 5. We're going to use verse 24 as our text. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. I want us to look at five wonderful things this evening. Five wonderful things. And one of the first things I want us to know that is wonderful, it's a wonderful privilege to hear the word of God. Notice in verse 24, he says, he who hears my word. God did not have to reveal himself to us. God did not have to let his mind be made known to us, but it's a wonderful privilege that he did. If God did not reveal himself to us, friends, we would all be lost without any hope at all. David said in Psalm 19:10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. God's word is better than gold. And we should desire it. You stop and think about sometimes you read a book or you see a movie where somebody has a treasure map. They've got a treasure map and there's this great treasure somewhere. And what do? They sell everything they need to. They get everything they need, all the equipment to follow this map to go and find a treasure. What would you do if somebody gave you a treasure map and you knew there is $1 million if you could follow that map and go get it? You would do everything you could to go follow that map. What if somebody gave you a map where you could have eternal life? You could have eternal life out of this world where there's no pain, no sorrow, no heartaches. Nobody's going to let you down. There's not going to be any tears anymore. No disease. You think about anything that's an affliction in this life, and it's gone. And somebody gave you this map. And they said, you follow this map, and you can have this treasure. What do people do? They say, I don't believe that. My friend told me to do this. My family told me to do that. I'm not going to listen to that. You're crazy. And people, they willingly miss the treasure that God has for us, that God has revealed to us in his word. Paul tells us in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." This is a wonderful privilege that we have to hear the word of God. Jesus said in John 15:3, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." It's a privilege to be cleaned by obedience to the word. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:22, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." You stop and think about, why do we love each other? Because Christ loved us. He loved us first. God loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if we are the children of God, we love one another. David tells us in Psalm 19:7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." You see what a privilege it is to have God's word? And Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Isn't that a wonderful privilege to hear those words? To think that we have hope? How many people are you going to meet tomorrow that are going through life with no hope? They have no hope. They're down in the dumps. All they look at is the doom and gloom. They have no hope, but we do. It's a wonderful privilege to hear these words. It's a wonderful privilege to hear God's word Sunday as we come together. Sunday morning in Bible study. Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. It's a wonderful privilege to hear it. It's a wonderful privilege that we have God's word. You stop and think how blessed we are. All the generations that lived that did not have their own copy of God's word. We have it. I've got a dozen Bibles at least. And we just take them for granted. It's a wonderful privilege. It does no good, though, to have these words until we put them in our mind. Again, why does God want us to learn these words just so we can be like a parrot and repeat them? No, he wants us to learn these words, to study these words, so that we can do them. A phrase that's repeated, depending on the translation in the Gospel of John, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, most assuredly, most assuredly, I say to you, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." The emphasis here is laid on the truth that hearing Jesus and believing in God through the words of Jesus would bring them to everlasting life. That's a wonderful privilege. And with this privilege of hearing the word of God comes the responsibility to do it. So we have a wonderful privilege to hear the word of God. Notice in this verse 2, we see a wonderful person, God in Jesus. Notice the second point on the slide, "and believes in him who sent me." Hears my words and believes in him. The Godhead is something that is very interesting. Some people have a lot of different opinions of it. Some don't believe in it. But God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Jesus and God are separate, but they are one. "And believes in him who sent me." Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 3 for a minute, beginning at verse 14. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So notice that Christ that dwells in your heart through faith, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend the width, the length, the depth, to know the love of Christ passes the knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. These two, you can't separate Jesus and God. This is a wonderful personage. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And back to Ephesians 4:18, comprehending with the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. How can we describe it? We mentioned before that God's the length of it. God's love started back before the foundation of the world. And how far does it come? Does it come up till the first sin? No, it keeps extending. It extends till He sent His Son. It keeps extending through all time. It extends till the end of time. It extends into eternity. God's love is never ending. From before the foundation of the world to as far in the distance as you can imagine. And the height and depth of love. God in heaven sent His Son to come down to this earth, to lift us up out of sin and to raise us up. That love is hard to comprehend. Paul tells us in Romans 5:8 and 9, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by faith, His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And in Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God's love, His grace, reaches down to all men. What does that mean to you? What does that mean? What does that mean to me? That means God's grace reaches down to this sinner, Bruce Hastings, and He loved me, and He loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. That's a wonderful person, a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior that would do that. Over and over, His love is expressed. And because of this, when we stop and think about this, our praise for Him should be on our lips all the time. And when we read through Revelation, that's what we see. His whole creation praises Him all the time, day and night. That Hebrewism, a repetitive motion over and over and over again. And why is that? Because God is worthy of it. He is worthy of it because of His love and what He has done for us. Well, something else in this verse, we see a wonderful possession. A wonderful possession. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life. That's a wonderful possession. Jesus said in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And in John 6:54, Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. We see in John 3:16, that's talking about present. The Son, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. In John 6:54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. That's present tense. When we look in Mark chapter 10, but he shall receive an hundredfold in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. So this possession, eternal life, everlasting life, it is spoken of as being in the present, and it is spoken of being in the future. And why is that? Because God's promise is so certain, it's a sure thing. Can it change? It can change if we choose to change it. You stop and think about this. What's the greatest possession that you can imagine? What could be greater than eternal life in the presence of God? And it's guaranteed. It's God guarantees it to me. If I stay faithful to Him. So how do we have eternal life so assured, so guaranteed, spoken as already in our possession? You go back to the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 6. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." Now when God said that, had Joshua conquered Jericho yet? No. It was a sure thing. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war, and you shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets." It's a sure thing, it's yours. It's guaranteed, but you got to do something for it. That's our salvation. It's a sure thing, it's guaranteed, but we got to do something for it. We can break that deal. It's conditional. Paul told us, and he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as he was near the end of his life, he said, "Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Friends, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for us. Do you have any, what you would consider valuables? Do you know anybody that has what you would consider valuables? If you have valuables, what do you do with them? You want to safeguard them. You want to keep them safe. Maybe you have something in your house called a safe because you want to keep your valuables safe. You want to keep them safeguarded. What's the most valuable possession that we have? It's our soul. It's our soul. Now, you stop and think, you think about a safe. You put valuables in there. Do you leave that door open? Do you leave the combination laying on top of the safe? No. You keep that door closed. You keep that safe in a safe place. You keep the doors on your house locked because you want to protect that valuable possession that you have. Now you stop and think about our soul. Our most valuable possession. What do we do to protect it? What do we do? Do we just leave our mind, we open our mind wide open and say, "Okay, world, come on in"? Do we hang around people that are going to be a bad influence? Okay, buddy, come on, fill my mind. Friends, we've got to understand This is a wonderful possession, and we need to safeguard it. We need to do everything we can to protect our eternal life. And we can do it. We can do it. Well, number four, we see we have a wonderful promise. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and the promise, and shall not come into judgment. Now this promise, you stop and think about this, it's impossible for God to lie, but this promise is conditional. Again, we know that leading up to salvation, there are conditions that have to be met. We can't be saved if we don't hear the word. We can't be saved if we don't repent of our sins, if we don't confess Christ as our Savior, if we aren't buried in baptism to reach that blood. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." See, we are in a war. It's a battle that we have to fight every day. But don't think that Satan is powerful enough to conquer us and we're just going to give up. We have Christ in us, and Christ is so much more powerful than Satan. But according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, concerning the faith have suffered shipwrecked, among of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I deliver to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So God is not going to change his promise to us. We can change it by the way we live. And he mentioned some here. Hymenaeus and Alexander, they have suffered shipwreck. And some in 2 Timothy talked that the resurrection was past. And Jesus tells us in John 15:2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." Friends, we cannot quit bearing fruit and think that we can escape God's wrath. We are to be in the branch. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and if we are connected to Christ, we are going to be bearing fruit. It's as simple as that. In 1 Peter 1:5, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You stop and think about that. Kept by the power of God through faith. You just stop and think about this. It makes no sense at all. If God loved us so much, and he had this plan before the beginning of the world, and sin came into the world, and he provided a plan, he sent a son, he had a son leave heaven to come down, to die a horrible death, to give his blood for us who don't deserve us, and then we can be saved, and then he waits and like, "Oh, I hope they sin. I hope they fall. I can't wait for him to do that." That's not the way God is. He protects us. We are kept by the power of God through faith. Well, how are we kept? Is it some miracle? No. And we know how we are kept by the power through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Who are we going to listen to? Are we going to open this, and are we going to read and listen to God every day? Or are we going to listen to somebody over here? This is going to keep us. This is going to draw us away, and Satan will snatch us. Some have more confidence in State Farm or Nationwide or Grange Insurance than they do in the Word of God. Isn't that foolish? Isn't that foolish? Some have more confidence in their earthly father than they do in their heavenly father. Well, The last wonderful part of this wonderful verse, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. This is a wonderful passage, to pass from death into life. And we see we have friends, family, people we know that come to the end of their life. We know they are near death. Something that is sadder than that is when we see people spiritually dead, when Satan gets them to commit sin, and we rejoice when that dead person, and every one of us that was baptized was one of those spiritually dead people. And God, when we were buried and he brought us up, we were resurrected, a new man to live a new life. He's given us life again. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked upon him. And Ephesians 2 and verse 1, Paul tells us, and you he made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins. So we have a couple of thoughts here in this last wonderful part of the verse. We've passed from death into life, from that man of sin into being a child of God. But then you also think about when we pass from death, from this world, into eternal life. And friends, if we are a faithful child of Christ, if we are a faithful Christian, we should look forward to that. What does this world have to offer for us when we consider what is waiting for us out on the other side of this life? I've asked the question before. Some people say they've seen angels. Has anybody here seen an angel? I know I haven't, but I know I will one day, and it'll either be a blessed event or a horrible event. Because when we read in Luke 16 about the rich man and Lazarus, when Lazarus died, what does it say happened to him? He was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. I wonder how many angels escorted him. That's interesting, it's plural. There wasn't just one angel, but there are angels that carried him into paradise. That's one of our options when we might see an angel. You consider another one when Christ comes, and when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he warned them that Christ would return in flaming fire with his angels, taking vengeance on those who do not know him and on those who do not obey the gospel. I don't want to see those angels. I don't want to see those angels. But this is a wonderful passage that we can pass from death. Again, he didn't leave us in our sins. We can pass from being a spiritually dead person into being spiritually alive. And he didn't intend for us to live in these bodies forever. They're just tents. They're just tabernacles. We're going to put off this body. We're going to go into eternity and be clothed in immortality. And we can't have that immortal body. We can't have that body where our legs don't hurt, our knees don't hurt, our back doesn't hurt, our ears don't work, our eyes stop working. We can't have that body as long as we are in this life. And we shouldn't fear death. What we should do is be prepared for death and then live every day as if Christ was coming back today, and we need to share his word with as many people as we can because we love him, because we don't want him to be lost. Most assuredly, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Friends, is there anybody here this evening that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation? We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.